It looks like summer when I look out there. Good morning. And I do welcome you here. I want to just highlight a couple of announcements here before we proceed. First of all, I want to mention as a reminder, Oasis. You know what I mean when I say Oasis? When I say convention, they're the same thing. There's a note in the bulletin regarding that, because each year we do make it known that if there are folks who would like to go to convention as a delegate from our church, that the church pays some of the cost, but we need to know if you're interested for that to happen, so you can contact any of the members of the leadership team if you might be interested in that. It's in Moncton this year, by the way, so that might have an impact on your decision, but I did want to draw everyone's attention to that. Also want to mention that following the service, we made it known last week as well, it's graduation time. You've probably read the announcement in there. It simply says, please stay following the service and have cake with Katrina to celebrate her graduation. So we're going to have some cake out through those doors. That's why they're closed, because we don't trust you. Otherwise, at least I wouldn't trust me. Oh, it's a surprise. Okay. Yes. All right, I know there's a heaviness in the air, and I know that, and we all know that, and, you know, we can't deny these things. Life is fragile. But just so everybody knows, the funeral service for Marie is going to be held tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock right here in the Christian Family Center. Terrible thing, terrible accident. So quick, so unexpected, you know, thought in my mind, I can picture it happening, because she just was so quick on her feet. And slipped and fell down the steps, and that was it. Yeah. So, anyhow, keep the family in your prayers, if you would, please. Something that's not in the order, or in the bulletin, rather, this morning. Service of baptism going to be held here June the 26th. There are two folks from the Torbrook Church who are going to be baptized, Shirley and Kay Sanford. So, looking forward to that. I have this note to read. Most of it's right. Some of it's wrong. You'll see what I mean. It says, good morning. This is in connection with the launch of Janice's CD last Tuesday evening. Phenomenal turnout. We had to fill the whole place up with chairs to be able to seat everyone. It says, good morning. And I like the note that you had on your cake cover as well that was sitting out there. Very appropriate, yes. Some of you who saw that will know what I'm talking about. It says, I just wanted to thank you, our church leaders, and you, our church family, for the tremendous support for the yesteryear's CD launch last Tuesday evening. I am so very blessed to belong to a church that has the foresight to see the possibilities in store for our future, one that encourages and shares our Christian love and fellowship. Last week was a true example of how to open our arms to the community at large. I received many comments stating how welcoming, warm, and full of love our place is. As Bill mentioned, if God spoke to us, and this was in an email I'd sent to Janice, if God spoke to us, he would likely say, now that's what I'm talking about. And here's the part that's not right. Oh, and just a suggestion, Bill, perhaps Tuesday evening is a better time for the church services. And then the and then the really, really, really wrong part. And me thinks people really like country music. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. No, it was awesome. And so in connection with that, I'd like to have you come up here. Right now. You. Uh-huh. And Darlene's going to deal with you. Okay, thank you.
Morning, everyone. I'm sorry, but I miss Sue. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Our first hymn is hymn number 4, Praise the Savior. Please stand and join in. A simple, kind, open, believing, loving, and generous heart, worthy of being your dwelling place. Thank you for who you are and all that you bless us with. In Jesus' name, amen. Our responsive reading is on the back of the bulletin. Let there be peace. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord.
For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross.
Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us.
So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up.
Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you.
Let's pray. Father, when we open our hearts to you, you fill them. You pour in your compassion and love. You open our understanding to realize that life is far more than we can comprehend. You grant us that sense of purpose and meaning that gives us reason to place our feet on the floor each morning we get up and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life and for all that it enables us to experience. And Father, I know that you understand that hearts are heavy this day because someone very close to us and someone very dear to us has left our presence. And yet at the same time, our Father, we know that even though we carry that sorrow in our hearts, we also have joy down there. Joy in the knowing that indeed all things are in your hands. And you have told us that you've gone and you've prepared a place for us, that your Son Jesus himself has carried that act out. And that place that is prepared for us is a place in eternity. A place, our Father, where the experience of what it will be like is not something we can wrap our minds around in the here and now. And so we do look forward to it, and we thank you for the hope, for the promise, indeed for the certainty that is ours. I pray that you would be with us as a congregation. I pray that you would be with the Crumpley family as well. I pray, Lord, that you would let them know that they are a people who are loved. You love everyone. And all that you have done has been motivated by love and continues to be motivated by love. And I pray that you would speak that into our hearts and allow us to be those through whom that love gets channeled to others, that we may say kind words and do kind gestures, be encouraging and be there to help those around us who are struggling. I pray that also you would be with Phyllis and her family as she's recently lost her mom. I know Leon's here this morning, Lord, and I know that their wounds are still fresh. I know that you've been great to them, and you continue to be a source of strength and encouragement for them. So continue to be by their side as well. I thank you for our church family, as has been mentioned by Janice in the letter this morning, and it's true. It's just so wonderful to be a part of a family that is encouraging and uplifting. And Lord, I don't say that with any sense of trying to project the idea we're perfect. We're certainly not. But we can certainly see the movement and the growth. And as we look back over the years, we see the changes that have taken place and just how the whole atmosphere is different in a positive way. Thank you for that maturity that continues to be expressed and continues to grow. And Lord, we thank you for your patience in the midst of it all, because we know sometimes we can be a stubborn people. And we can be hard to move along. But we also know that you're persistent above all sense of persistence. And that you are faithful, Lord, and you're just always there and you always will be, as you've promised. You would never leave us nor forsake us. And so as we try to offer expressions of gratitude and praise to you this morning, Lord, we know that you understand that they will be impacted by the experience that has taken place in our community over the last couple of weeks. So I pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us. I pray as we turn our thoughts towards your word that you would speak to us very personally and call us to where you would have us to go and what you would have us to do. So we open ourselves now to you. Pray once again that you would pour forth into our empty cups the fullness of your love and grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn in your hymn books. I really am going to ask you to turn in your hymn books. Number 572. It's not going to be up on the screen. This is a sneak one, okay? Ministry of Music, Blessed Assurance. Let's stand together, please.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. Salvation, purchase of God, born of his
I saw Leon up here, and I thought, you weren't with Leon, you must not be here. We need to set that counseling session up. Yeah. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and receive the offering this time. Stand together, please. See the doxology.
Great is God from whom all blessings flow.
Father, we come before you now in this way as we do frequently. We extend our hands, Lord, and in our hands are the fruits of our labors, at least a portion of. We desire to be participants in this way in the ministry of your word because it's made such a difference in our lives. And we believe the gospel itself to be the most important message in all the world. And so we pray that you would bless these offerings, that your grace and love would be poured out upon all who are gathered here in these moments to worship you. We simply extend them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Very short scripture reading this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. The tree and its fruit. And I'm expecting all of you valley people to catch the gist of this. All right? Didn't say an apple tree, but you can imagine an apple tree if you want. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. And here's the connect. Here's the transfer value. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And then here's the summary. What you say flows from what is in your heart. There is a powerful lesson in that last statement, and that's where our focus will be for the next few moments. But before we venture into that, I need to make a connect, as I often do, because really this message this morning is a continuation of, I guess you could call it a series that focuses on the idea of relationship. And in that particular vein of thought, that takes us back to last week's message, and from there we launch into this week's. Last week we actually reflected under the thought of what we simply call a relational ecosystem. And I know I described what I meant by that. It's just a phrase I wanted to use to capture the idea of the interconnectedness of the relationships that we are called to have. And I did say relationships, plural. When we looked at the idea of the ecosystem in connection with relationship, we noted that Jesus' response to the question regarding the identification of the greatest commandment actually took us to the heart of the matter of relationship. And as that did, I think it was fair to conclude that Jesus' words amounted to the assertion that nothing, nothing is more important than relationship. But bear in mind, we added to that as well. We added to the matter of relationship the idea that it's always bigger than the self. We can never think, we should never think, of relationship simply in terms of ourself. It is a system of interdependence which flows in three equally important directions: God, others, and self. And the measure of the balance of these three, I believe, is reflective of the overall health of our relational ecosystem. So launching from there, today's purpose and where we're going with it will be helped by understanding that relationship implies interactive connection between ourselves and those who are not a part of our internal world. I'll explain that. The primary instrument which facilitates our interactive connectedness with one another is our capacity as individuals to export what is going on inside of us to our external world. If I stood up here, and if I just stood up here, wouldn't that be fun? No interaction. You don't know what's going on inside of me. I don't know what's going on inside of you. And so through the use of words, and this would be true whether they be oral words or written words, we're going to focus on the former this morning, but because of words, we are able to convey externally our thoughts, our feelings, and our moral orientation. See, there's more to it than we thought. Our thoughts have to do with the ideas and conclusions which we have arrived at on the basis of our reasoning. Our feelings have to do with our emotional connectedness to our thoughts. And our moral orientation, this is the challenging one, our moral orientation involves the level of concern that we factor in regarding the personal impact and well-being of those who are going to receive the words that we are going to speak. That's the tough one. It's this one that is the biggest challenge. Why? Because of the impact of sin, which is that inward gravitational force that inclines us toward all things self. Really does, when you stop and think about it. And so this ability we have to take our internal rational workings and present them externally is the most frequent used point of impact between ourselves, our inward selves, and others. So in making that statement and pointing out how it works, I really hope that we can see here the enormous potential for good or bad, for better or for worse, which exists at this level of relationship, our words. It's this capacity to take what is inside of us and expose it to those who are outside of us that actually led to today's title, The Soul's Lava. Because that last expression in Luke 6 that we looked at, yeah, it was Luke, actually said that the words that we speak are actually the product of what's inside of us. Just like lava pours out of the earth, and it is the product of what came from inside the earth. The soul's lava. And if I might throw in a silly illustration, I think very much like the impact of lava, it can have a positive impact and, you know, bring into existence the islands of Hawaii. Or it can be very destructive. And so can our words. This is where our text for today kicks into gear, particularly the second part of verse 45. What you say flows from what is in your heart. This again is where the lava illustration comes into play. What becomes manifested externally is simply an outward presentation made possible by taking on a new form, an oral transmission, if you like, of what originated from within. And such is true, generally speaking, of human beings. Because of this relatively consistent connection between the inward self and the outward expression to the world, do you know that we can actually have a general expectation of what to expect from whom? Scary, isn't it? But it's true. Would you believe me if I were to tell you that in all the time that I have been here, I could probably count on two hands the number of people responsible for at least 90% of all complaints I have ever heard? Wow. Why is that? Before answering that question, though I expect we all are very well aware of the answer anyway, we need to consider the language that is used here. Very important to the message being conveyed. In my Bible translation, the categories that are contrasted here are good or evil. That's the impact words can have, good or evil. So I ask the question, what exactly might it be about words that would put them in one of these two categories? Well, let's suppose, just for a moment, that maybe we were right last week when we highlighted the importance of relationship. What would make words good words or evil words? Might it not possibly be the impact that they can have on this matter of relationship, how what we say affects someone else? I've often thought of the children's story. You've probably seen it before. You give the kids a tube of toothpaste. You put a piece of cardboard in front of them and you say, go to it. Squish the entire insides of that thing right out on that cardboard. And they go to it and they have a great time. And then you say, now put it back in the tube. And you can't. And that's what words are like. Once they're out, you can't take them back. And they have their impact either for good or for evil. One more thing I would say about not just this text, but other texts that are similar to it, is that whenever we're reading a text that uses an illustration to convey a message, you need to be very careful. It's very easy to overwork an illustration and actually extract from it more than it's intended to convey. We can actually test most of these things against real life, and I'll use this illustration as an example. Is it possible for a bad person to say a good thing? Is it possible for a good person to say a bad thing? Sure it is. So don't overwork the illustration. It's very reasonable to see how this illustration takes a principle from something in life we know is always true. Apple trees don't produce oranges. Don't go into grafting on me. I know how some of your minds work. Yeah. But the point being conveyed that's carried over into human life is that generally speaking, out of a good heart come good things, out of a bad heart come bad things. Generally, that same principle applies to real life. I mean, don't you find it interesting that the police usually know what doors to start knocking on whenever a crime has been committed? Usually? Isn't that kind of say something? Doesn't that tell us something about human character? It's usually pretty consistent. So let's turn our attention then specifically to this matter of words. I am suggesting that they are the verbal packaging of our inward thoughts, because I do believe that's what that particular text is telling us. It conveys our thoughts, words do that is, our feelings, and our moral orientation. Our text tells us that they can be agents for goodness or they can be agents for evil. And it tells us that there is a general consistency between the nature of our inward life and the impact for good or for evil of the words that we speak upon relationship. Now, I promise you that this one stings me as much as it will sting you. I'm in the same boat, but I know the truth of it. Words, relationship. That's what I would like to have us burn into our minds. Whenever I go to say something, whenever I go to speak a word, it would be so helpful if the first thing that came to my mind was relationship. How is this going to impact relationship for good or for evil? By which I would suggest we mean, does what I'm going to say serve to build up, or does what I'm about to say serve to tear down? Now, having said that, I want to take us on a bit of a journey, a very quick one, through the Scriptures. A few weeks ago, I focused on a statement from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, which made this assertion, first of all, always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask of the hope that is in you. And that's kind of what I zeroed in on that day. But there's a second part to that passage. It says, but do this with gentleness and respect. Consideration. It's there. Before all of our leadership team or pastoral team meetings, and you folks on these teams will know this, we read from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. And we do that repetitiously at every meeting because it's something that we need to be reminded of frequently. What does Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 say? Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. How big of an issue is this? How much of a challenge is it to say words and expressions that build people up as opposed to tearing them down? How much of a challenge is it? Listen to James chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That's what we're dealing with. That's what's a part of us. It is because of this potent potential that the Scriptures make such frequent pleas as these. In Ephesians chapter 4, the second part of verse 29, let everything, did you hear that? Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. That's not my saying that. That's Ephesians 4:29, where Paul wrote that. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. So then, and we read this in our responsive lesson this morning, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Try. Sometimes it's a challenge. Hebrews 10:25, the first part of that verse, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but let us encourage one another. As I thought and reflected upon this, I was thinking of the whole idea of Colossians 4:6 about letting your conversation be full of grace. You know, when I think about that, what comes to me is that how grace really becomes a motivating force, if you like, and it causes us to arrange our words so that we can deliver the message without the bite and without the bullying. Just tell people lovingly, encouragingly, not to tear down. The destructive nature of our words are fed their poison not when they make their reach outside of us, but rather they are fed their poison from within, before we even let them pass our lips. And this is exactly what Jesus is getting at in Matthew chapter 5. You may be familiar with the section there where he goes through a series of sayings And he talks about, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. Do you take note of what he's doing there? He's illustrating that the heart of the problem actually originates from within. You've heard that it was said, thou shalt not kill. Ah, but I say to you, anyone who hates his brother is guilty of murder already in the heart. It's where it starts. It's sourced by the state of our hearts. His concern, I believe, was to shift our focus from being one of being reactive to one of being proactive. By the time the action, or in our case, the words, have made their way to that place external to us, the only corrective response we have to do at that point is a reactive one. So why not nip it in the bud? Why not cut it off at the source? And where is that source? Within us, the state of our hearts. Our verbal lava is generated from within our hearts. You think words aren't important? Let me quote from Jesus, Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. Listen very carefully to this passage. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. How does James handle this particular matter with this counsel? In James chapter 1, the second part of verse 19, you must all be quick to listen and slow to speak. Think about it. More pointedly are the words from Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Interesting way it's put. So this is very important because of the impact it has on relationship. We're going to talk a little bit more about the consequences of this next week. But just to go back to something I offered last week from a quote from the book The Shack. In the passage that I offered, I used it because it addressed the problem of independence. That is, when we operate from a position that only factors in ourselves. And here it is again. This time as I read it, I want us to think about the impact of words. Here's what it says. Having chosen the ravaged path of independence, and when I apply that to words, I'm thinking, I don't care what these other people think about what I say, I'm going to say it anyway. Having chosen the ravaged path of independence, you don't even comprehend that you are dragging the entire creation along with you. That's the impact that it has. Lastly, I'll close with this. Let me share these words from the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible regarding what our lips are releasing each time when we open our mouths to speak. I quote, "Speaking is not a mere verbal activity. It is the expression of the totality of man, his purposes and values. The tongue is the agent through which what is in a man is effectively released into the world. It is the agent to manifest man's inward character." End of quote. So there we have it. The soul's lava. Beware of those words. They may be more powerful than we think. We're going to turn our attention now to our closing hymn up here, or in the hymn book 656, Take Time to Be Holy, and I do want you to have a look at that clock. one of the great things about today. I know we've had some sad focus, and very shortly we're going to have some really good focus. Because if we can stay, we're going to go out and share a few moments that are very important for Katrina, who is venturing off into a whole new track in her life. And try to think back of what it was like in your mind when you started to university, or even when you finished school. I mean, that in and of itself, for me anyway, whew. So let's close in prayer. And now, our Father, we thank you for these thoughts that we've attended this morning. We believe you have spoken to us about the importance of words. I thank you for all of these folks here, Lord, who are so kind and have been so good to me and my family for so long, and it's been wonderful. I'm grateful for Katrina's experience. I'm glad that her journey is turning that road for her, and she's venturing off into the deeper woods of life. Bless her on her way. But in the meantime, as we prepare to share these moments together with her, we pray also for your blessing upon the food that has been prepared and for the fellowship that will be enjoyed and fostered. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to the one who is able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, both now and forevermore, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.